Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Did a really good show last night. I watched some of it because we didn't go live as a podcast. So make sure you check out all the guys on Post Up 5R. That's as soon as the game ends. And also before floor, an hour before every game starts, and Greg Sylvander and I are among those who are on that one. Also, fivereasonssports.com. That's where you go for Brady Hawk's latest takeaways. Not even COVID could get him from posting at the buzzer last night, his takeaways. And also, of course, everything there is free. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Greg is with me today. And you know why that is? That's because I'll set Greg up here.
If you got the schmutz, they got the guts.
That's they got the guts. I butchered the tagline here. Go to Water Cleanup of Florida. Water Cleanup of Florida is there for you 24 hours a day. So if, while I couldn't shut off my smoke alarm last night, and it was keeping me up all night, if I had a water damage issue here, I would have called Water Cleanup of Florida because they are there 24 hours a day. And when a disaster strikes in your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress that an unexpected disaster may cause. If you're a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim or you're dealing with water, mold, or fire damage, you got to find a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor. And they've got over 60 years of combined experience between Michael, Robert, and the rest of the team, so they're prepared to handle any size disaster. They're third-generation contractors in South Florida, so continuing to maintain their sterling reputation is extremely important to them. They'll make the cleanup and insurance claim process hassle free. So reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida. That's Water Cleanup of Florida, one-stop shop. Call Michael on his personal cell at 954-579-0356. 954-579-0356. Again, if you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat me trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I got Greg Sylvander. We woke up early in the morning to do this. We were up last night. I will say this. Greg is not as washed as I expected. He did make it to the end of the game. It was actually me who I made it to the end, but I just wasn't feeling great. We decided to push this to the morning. A crazy game it was. The Miami Heat beat the Portland Trailblazers. They hold them off at the end after blowing a 19-point lead, but you really couldn't blame them because of everything that happened in this game. Of course, still no Bam, still no Jimmy, still no Oladipo, still no Markieff Morris, although he's making googly eyes on Twitter again. Still no a whole bunch of different guys, but they were getting a great performance from Kyle Lowry in terms of assists. He had 9 assists. And then he was ejected when the Heat had the thing, it seemed like, in hand against the Portland team that was missing its starting backcourt of Lillard and McCollum. And then a second technical for an official, because essentially, I guess, although, Greg, we're going to go over what came out after, it seemed like it was just because Lowry just handed him back the ball or flipped him back the ball. He was ejected. Things started to fall apart. They couldn't get themselves into offense. And then really led, in my view, in many ways by P.J. Tucker, who Eric Spoelstra found a way to settle the team by running the offense through him. P.J. kept getting to the line. He wasn't making all of them, but he kept getting to the line. I had a tremendous all-around performance. And then Max Strus in a starting role, something we'll get into more a little bit later in the podcast, with 25. And Omer Yurtseven, what did he end up with? 14 rebounds, I think, in the game. Those three guys really instrumental in pulling out the victory in a night that Tyler Hero struggled. Caleb Martin played pretty well as well. But let's start here with the Lowry ejection and also the slap in the face to Tyler Hero, who also pulled his own kind of Markieff Morris, Nikola Jokic type thing This time he did it to Nurkic. And as I tweeted last night, I hope that Nurkic doesn't have brothers. Let's just go over all the chaos of last night and your thoughts on the Lowry ejection, the Hero scuffle, Tucker's performance.
So the Lowry thing was particularly weird, and he was chirping a lot to start the game. But I thought he was chirping at other players. I didn't know he was chirping at the refs. I think it was Will Manso who tweeted that in the, I think, what do they call that? The last 2 minute report or some sort of officiating report that I don't know the official name of, that the second technical was for continuous complaining, which I just find to be like a biased, I don't know that it makes a lot of sense that that referee would have kicked Kyle out for that. I think that he whipped the ball at him and that had some visual impact on what was going on, that he thought maybe it was worse than it actually was. But ultimately, for them to not have Kyle and then end up still figuring out a way to get this one. And I know that Portland is horrible defensively and things like that. Miami shot the three ball really well, 46%. Usually when they shoot that well from three, they get the win, out rebounded Portland. So, I mean, overall, if you told me that they had to run offense through PJ Tucker to close the game, I would have said this is not heading in the right direction. But somehow, almost like from the mid post, it's like, what era of basketball is this? He was, you know, operating and, I mean, six assists for PJ Tucker. It's just like a all around game. And I just can't be impressed enough by what PJ Tucker has brought to the Heat this year. He has exceeded every imaginable expectation.
The Heat have probably exceeded his expectations too, and what they've trusted him with and what they've helped bring out of him at this stage of his career. It's kind of a shame that he didn't get here sooner, although of course he got a championship along the way in Milwaukee, but he was tremendous. I mean, and you were looking for somebody because, you know, once Lowry went out, you don't have anybody. I mean, it's one of those situations, you know, Rio was inactive. He probably would have been useful in the second half last night, at least because he knew how to get into an Eric Spoelstra offense. There's nobody else who could really do it. And we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but, you know, they had to entrust Tyler Hero with it for a little bit. And it's just clear at this stage that when Tyler has to do that, he doesn't do the thing that he's best at, which is shoot the ball efficiently. And so, you know, there were mistakes that were being made. He was way off with his jumper. I thought he actually played a pretty decent first half when Lowry was in. Once Lowry went out, it kind of all went out the window. And look, they didn't beat a juggernaut last night, but Anfernee Simons can play. I mean, he had 40-something in the previous game against Atlanta, and he went crazy in the third quarter again. And it was just one of those games that I thought we were going to talk about. That was a bad loss. Like, how did they let that thing get away? And it was PJ. He totally settled them. I love watching PJ get angry at himself. It's amusing on kind of everything. And the thing about that about Lowry is, I mean, literally, if you're going to give him a technical for continuous complaining, he would be teched up before every game starts. Right? Kyle Lowry hasn't stopped complaining in about 12 years.
Imagine Bron and Dwayne's laundry list.
Oh, my God. I mean, that was a rookie official. And Spoelstra said after the game that it was the same official that teched him up in Sacramento. So I guess he worked not back-to-back games, but two out of three, which is a little strange for the NBA. They tend to mix these things up a little bit more unless they're in a playoff series and they're down to a limited number of officials. So it was just poorly handled by them. But you didn't want this one to be one of those that you said at the end of the season, okay, that Portland game, they should have had it. The Hero thing, and then we'll touch on specific players, but not the Hero playing thing, but the Hero thing with Nurkic. This is the second time now that Tyler's had a scrap. He had one of the game that the Sunday game here. I can't even remember who they beat. The one I took my daughter to. Try to remember exactly who they were playing. Oh, it was Orlando. He had that little issue with the guard from Orlando who was yelling at him as he walked away. But this is a second kind of thing that he's had. Like, he can be a little bit chippy. I think there was some fault both ways here on that one.
Oh, right, for sure. Greg? Yeah, no, and I think it was a culmination of, like, you see Tyler's frustrations and like, just because of the way he retaliated. And I think also, like, when you get open hand slapped, like, there's something about that that almost is worse than getting punched. So he also got really upset by that whole sequence. But what you're kind of seeing as Tyler's numbers normalize throughout the year, like, he's had his blazing stretch. I was about to say trailblazing, but that's not appropriate since they just played them. And he's also had his down moments. But if you look at it overall, he's attempting 5 more shots a game, but his field goal percentage is actually down 2 percentage points to last year. So I think it's just informative to us to see that when the game is simplified for Tyler, he really flourishes. When they make things more confusing and they give him more responsibilities with playmaking, decision-making, and kind of getting everyone organized, there's an element to, like, when they started to entrust Dwayne to do those things, that although he wasn't a point guard and he didn't get you organized like Kyle Lowry does or something like that, like, he could still kind of like dictate tempo and really dictate the pace. Tyler is not there yet. And I think that it all the more feeds into that Spo needs to keep him in the role that they've got him in until he can get to that level. Right.
Yeah, no. And that's the point that we've kind of made repeatedly here. And everybody thinks it's a shot at Tyler. It's not. It's that when they put him in this role this year, we liked it because it does make sense. It clears the deck for him to just do what he does best and come in and kind of figure out. And it usually takes him a couple minutes, but he does figure out kind of, okay, where are the seams today? Where can I create? What spots can I get to? He can't do that as much when you have to put the ball in his hands and he's got to set everybody else up. He, like I said, he's not a point guard. Now we're in this era where everybody's a point guard, right? Like, every 2 guard in the league is entrusted with point guard responsibilities to the point that you don't know who's a point guard and who's not. But I can tell you, he's not a point guard. I mean, he's just not. And he'd probably tell you that himself. Kyle Lowry is a point guard. Now that we've seen what it looks like, or it's supposed to look like, even I mentioned it earlier, even a guy like Mario Chalmers, who was, we talked about during his playing days, was not a traditional point guard. He was playing off the ball a lot. He was kind of the more Derek Fisher type point guard when Derek played with Kobe, or the John Paxson type, BJ Armstrong type point guard that played off of Jordan. That Rio was that to LeBron and to Dwayne. Okay. But if you needed to hand the ball to Mario and say, get us into offense, Mario Chalmers could get them into offense. Tyler Hero can't consistently get them into offense and get his own. That's the thing. Like, and with Mario, you didn't really care as much if he got his own. Okay. And he was unselfish in that way. For as much as people talked about his outsized ego and all the rest of that, Mario was okay not scoring a whole bunch of points. Tyler is a trained killer as a scorer. That's what he is. Okay. And it's very difficult for getting into it, but they had no choice last night. And I will just say this, PJ Tucker, like we said, I mean, you talk about additions that they've made over the years. They have more than made up for the whole Harkless Bradley thing from the previous season. Like, they nailed the mid-level this year in terms of what they gave to PJ Tucker. All right. We're going to pivot now though. Cause there's some we haven't talked about much. Or 2 things, and we got to get to them, okay? One in particular, the guy who started last night and had 25, 5, and 6, and is averaging now 22 points in his starts, all wins, by the way. Right back here on 5 on the Floor. Before we come back, I want to tell you about a couple of the great sponsors of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. If you're playing Daily Fantasy, you might have wanted to play that guy last night. Go to prizepicks.com, use the code 5, F-I-V-E, and you'll get your initial deposit match. That means you give them $100. They'll match it with $100. You got $200 to play with, and you don't have to play it all at once. Play the flex play, the power play, or any of the other games there on the Prize Picks app. Again, you use it as an app or as a website, and you can play if you want to play NFL, NHL, any of the other sports. You can do that too. Go to prizepicks.com. That's one of the cool things. If you're a hockey fan and a basketball fan and you want to play Jonathan Huberdeau and Jimmy Butler, well, when Jimmy Butler's playing, you can play them together. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, get your initial bonus matched. We've got a different code for a couple of the products here that are sponsors of the network. One of them, if you want any kind of grooming products, go to manscaped.com. Use the code 5RSN for 25% off. And therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN for all of your premium CBD. And that's the number 5RSN. All right. Max Strus started last night. Duncan Robinson didn't. Now, we could say, oh, Duncan was being worked back in. But Max missed even more time than Duncan. And a decision was made. I think we all agreed with the decision to move Hero to the bench. But he could have just plugged Duncan back into the starting lineup, and he didn't. He put Strus in there. And then even though Duncan had one of his better shooting games, he was 4 of 6 from the field. I think Duncan, I know they were both supposed to be on minutes restrictions, according to what Spoelstra told the media before the game. I think Duncan played 18 minutes and Max 16. Played 16 yeah. And Max played how many?
31.
Okay. So they basically split the time, right? But Max got 2/3 of the minutes on a night. This is what's significant to me. On a night that Duncan shot the ball well. Because usually when Spoelstra cuts Duncan's minutes, we've noted this trend that even though Duncan was still starting, that Spoelstra was kind of pulling the minutes back a little bit. Like the month before, it was like 29 minutes a game, and it went down to 23 minutes a game. And you could see this where Max was getting a little bit of a bigger role. But it really is hard to ignore when he just makes a lineup switch. Like it's one thing for us to say, okay, he's giving Max a little bit more responsibility on the nights that Duncan's not shooting well. No, like Max was the guy they rode last night, and Duncan was the guy who was the afterthought. So do you think that this was a one-night blip, a product of the other players who were available, and so it made more sense to get some of Max's creation, which he does some of that, in the starting lineup? Or do you, and again, there's still no Bam and Jimmy, who are the guys that Duncan plays best off of. Or is this something that, I mean, again, they're undefeated with Max as a starter, and he's averaging more than 22 points over the past 5 starts?
So I would love for it to be the latter, that they are in a very non-controversial way at a very opportunistic moment. Spo is getting the opportunity to thrust Strus into the starting lineup and kind of pull back on Duncan. I'd love for that to be what actually takes place. That's personally what I would prefer, I think, at this point. And I'll get into why in a minute. But I think that there's a bigger thing to look at here. And I keep moving the goalposts with Max Strus because I don't know what they have in him in terms of, like, initially I thought, okay, you got a good bench shooter. And then you think, okay, now you got a good spot starter that can maybe do things offensively a little more than you thought. And now the way that he's shooting, at the volume that he's shooting, and the things that he can do athletically that some of the guys that also shoot the ball don't do, I just think that it's just interesting that Spo is trusting him in that way and just literally shelving Duncan Robinson. And to me, the thing to really watch with that is just, when you paid Duncan that money, and I keep coming back to this, I can't help it. Like, now you have Caleb Martin, Max Strus, these guys, Kyle Guy, that comes out of nowhere and he's shooting really well from three. He was 1 of 2 again last night. Even Haywood Highsmith has been a good 3-point shooting addition. I start to wonder if there was a little bit of there, or there's going to be a market correction on shooters overall, and just what that means for Duncan. And I just, when there's a game like tonight, for you to have your 4th highest paid player play 16 minutes, like that's a tell of some kind. I don't know exactly what it means just yet, but that's a tell to me.
On a night that he shot well, I keep coming back to that, because if he was 1 of 6, then I think all of us would have said, okay, Duncan had another night where he struggled. Eric Spoelstra wanted to go to another option. But when he's 4 of 6, and like you said, they didn't have their three horses. Okay. And he's 4th on the salary pecking order. And I have not been one of those who's obsessed over the salary. The going rate was the going rate. I just haven't been. Okay. And again, they need a contract to move eventually, if they're going to try to do something else significant. I mean, it's not going to be Dame Lillard, but I mean, geez, I mean, the Heat actually posting the jersey swap, or the jersey for bottle swap with Bam. I don't know what that was.
They know what they're doing.
It is something. I'm surprised they're not worried about the league office on that one. But, you know, it's just I'm not big on the whole contract talk. I never have been. I because, and I come back to Riley's phrase on this. There are obstacles, but there are none. When you know, I was at that press conference before they got Jimmy Butler, and Pat was in kind of the most antagonistic mood that I'd seen him in since he was a coach, because it was coming off of all the criticism of the Waiters contract, the Tyler Johnson contract, which was not him, really. The Olynyk contract, which was fine, I guess, but the Whiteside contract, the James Johnson contract, and Barry and Ira were challenging him, particularly Barry, I think rightly so, on this idea of the money that was spent on some of these guys. And Pat said, there are obstacles, but there are none. And honestly, Pat just made that shit up off the top of his head. Okay. But we have a t-shirt for it. But the thing is, it's one of my favorite shirts, actually.
Yeah.
But okay. His point was, we'll effing figure it out. Okay. And we also have the cap guy who's the best in the business. And so between us, we'll get this settled. Now, nobody thought that they would be able to pull the rabbit out of the hat of giving up, you know, sort of a middling starter in Josh Richardson, you know, and, you know, Hassan Whiteside's, you know, pouty face for Jimmy Butler. Okay. Like nobody thought, and especially with what fell apart there in the Dallas part of that trade with Dragic and all the rest of that, nobody thought that they'd be able to pull that off. Okay. And they needed somebody like Jimmy to want to be here so badly and commit, you know, so quickly that it was, they were, that helped them quite a bit. Okay. No question, but they did it. Right. And so, you know, ever since then, I just don't freak out about the contract thing. Like, yes, it was frustrating that they gave those contracts out, as we've talked about many times, to mediocre, you know, starters. Okay. Who they could manufacture in a lab pretty damn easily. Okay. And they gave them that kind, not just money, but commitment of years and all the rest of that. And it took them kind of out of the room for Kevin Durant, and it took them out of the room for other players. And yes, so at the time it was bad, but now it's just like my thing on with them on contracts is Andy will figure it out. Okay.
Yeah. I'm 100% aligned. I think it's important. I guess I should clarify for the listeners. Like, I don't think giving Duncan Robinson that contract was the wrong move. And I think that having that deal on the books is actually can be beneficial go forward. It's just, I guess now with the circumstances and the context of Max Strus and Caleb Martin and these guys that are kind of coming in and plugging these holes, I just think that it would be naive to not think that the Heat are going to look at the roster, see where they could balance. And it just makes sense that Duncan Robinson rises to the top of the chart in terms of who they would move to kind of maybe balance who they would have next to Bam to give PJ a little bit of a break because of all the stuff he's doing. I mean, I don't know, you want to take him off the floor, but he's playing 35 minutes in January a night. Right. So that's not,
a lot of that is also, if they just had Markieff Morris healthy, then
that's true.
Probably would be eating, you know, at least 10 to 12 minutes into that. There's a larger philosophical conversation to have here that we should have in another pod. Okay. Which, because I want to get back to Strus and I want to talk a little bit about Omer, but who also plays into this somewhat, but like there's a larger philosophical conversation of whether the Heat should ever give money to somebody that they develop, right? Because they have gotten so good at developing these guys. Okay. Because even with the James Johnson, Dion situations at the time, the Heat were not the factory of development that they are right now. Okay. Now they have a history of developing some guys going all the way back to Udonis or Joel Anthony or, before that, Anthony Carter. We've talked about all the, but there was a lull during the Big Three era. They didn't hit on a lot of these developmental projects, like whether it was a Mikal Gladness or a Terrell Harris, people that they invested some time into, Briante Weber, the point guard that they brought back six times. I mean, you're going to miss on some of these guys because there's a reason that they were undrafted in the first place, but they're not missing anymore. Like they're literally, their track record now on this is insane. Like I was going through Twitter late last night, as I was trying to turn my smoke alarm off, and as you're going through it, it's like I'm looking at the comments from other fans around the NBA under the Max Strus posts from like the national blogs, right? And it's all like, how the F did the Heat find another one? Like these are Raptor fans and Spurs fans and Laker fans. Like this is becoming insane. Okay. Like you don't just find a guy who gives you, you know, 25, 5, and 6. Okay. You know, And he's like the third guy we were talking about from. I mean, they don't even have Gabe Vincent back. They literally took a guy in Gabe Vincent, okay, who we were all like, this is not a playable guy, okay, to, damn, that was a good contract that they signed this guy. They really need him back on the floor. Like, this is, so there's a larger philosophical conversation. I'll let you close the loop on this, but I want to get back to Strus and then touch on Omer here about whether they should ever pay anybody that they develop. Right. I mean, I
think that that is a really meaty topic that we should save for another episode. But in one sentence, I would just say that it's a slippery slope and you just got to make sure that you don't become, you know, I always they're the critically acclaimed asset manufacturers, as I call them. But at some point you can't treat it like 2K and you have to remember that they're human beings and you have to reward certain guys. And that's the discernment you have to have. Situation over situation, but that's all for another podcast. Let's continue to talk about Max Strus.
Yeah, no, well, because he plays into it, so I think it does tee it up, and I think it's a good poll question. Maybe I can throw out there on Twitter, and it can kind of energize another episode because I know there are some who feel pretty strongly about this. But you're right, there is a human element. I mean, you look at Philadelphia right now, and there's the GM there, and they've had a series of GMs there. Okay, starting with Hinkie, you know, maybe not as much the two in between with Colangelo and Brand, but. The last guy they got now, Morey, who is like the king of this, of not understanding kind of the personal aspects of it. And it's all people on a spreadsheet. You don't want it to just be that. But also, when it looks like you've maybe built a better Duncan Robinson in the lab, then I understand why certain fans make that point. All right. I want to tell everybody about one more sponsor. And then we're just going to drill down on Strus and Yurtsevid and close this pod. So actually, Greg can get to work, okay, because, you know, he needs to pay some bills as well. But before I let him do that, I want to tell you about one more sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network, and this is City Cigar Lounge. We're telling you about this one because we're going to start doing some watch parties there before games and after games. It is a great spot just down the street from the arena. They got more than 350 different types of scotch, bourbon, whiskey, and tequila, and more than 50 brands of premium cigars. They got large, comfortable leather chairs, and it's a very classy, classy joint with great food. I just use the word joint. Oh, my God, I am so old. But they got a great food menu and happy hour and game specials, which we're going to partake in, and we're going to have some Five Reasons watch parties there as well. So we just want to mention it to you. It's City Cigar Lounge right there in downtown Miami. Check them out on Instagram as well. They post there regularly, and they tell you everything that's going on a nightly basis. All right, so Strus, real quick here. We don't know exactly what they have. We probably need to do another episode on this. But other than defend, you know, at a high level, where he competes, okay? There's no question, but he doesn't defend at a high level. Other than defend at a high level, you know, what doesn't he do well offensively? Because it seems to me like he finishes in traffic. I mean, let's beyond the shooting, okay, which is he always seems to make his first shot. And he also, more importantly, wants those shots late. Like, he has made a number of these late, and they trust him, and there's no hesitation, and there doesn't seem to need to be four screens. It's just like you get it to Max, and he bails you out. But the other things, like, he's a pretty decent passer. I mentioned the finishing in traffic. He reads the game pretty well. He's a physical rebounder. If somebody said to you, Max Strus is a starter for this team, you'd be starting two guard. You'd be like, okay. Right. Like,
especially if you've watched the last 10 games or so. I mean, I think that ever since summer league, I mean, remember they just put the ball in his hands at the top of the key and he's hitting game winners and stuff like that. Like, there's an element of that I also, it kind of harkens back to this conversation where, like, Max Strus just, there's something about being able to give the ball to a guy and tell everyone, get the hell out of the way, and he can get you a bucket. And I'm not saying you can live and die on Max Strus's back as a playoff team or anything like that, but just to get you a bucket. I mean, you watch how he operates late. He wants those moments. I think the Heat like guys that really feed into that. That's part of, I think, this group in general, like that fits in really well. You see Jimmy and him, you know, doing double middle fingers at each other as they come back to the bench. Like, there's a love affair there that I think is fun to watch. And I also think that, like, for Max to get like, this sounds a little funny, but the respect of a Jimmy Butler that way, like, if he's just openly just mocking Max, that's because Max is so good to Jimmy that Jimmy just feels like he can do that. And everyone knows what time it is. Like, nobody thinks, look at Jimmy picking on this scrub. So to me, I just think that we don't know what they have yet. I think that Duncan Robinson obviously fits better with the starter. So there's not going to be any sweeping changes, I don't think. But I think that this is one that they should think about investing in. And maybe I'll be wrong about that. But I just think that the way that he's played is just, it's just a little different than what we've seen from the regular just shooters that come through, whether it's the Jason Caponos or the Mike Millers. He's just doing a little bit.
Well, hold on. It's funny, it's funny you mentioned that second name, because when I was thinking about this last night, he's starting to remind me more of a shorter Mike in a lot. And I'm not talking about the Miller who came to the Heat. I'm talking about the Miller pre-Memphis, before the back injury and all the rest of that stuff. But, you know, because there were some hero comparisons to Mike when Mike and Tyler's nothing like Mike. OK, other than white. OK. And, you know, and that's basically it. And Mike had a little soul to him, too. OK. But like, if you go previous to the Heat, what the Heat thought they were getting before, you know, Mike had a string of injuries. All right. When Mike was not just Memphis, but Orlando Mike. OK. Where
you can play point guard.
Right. I mean, Mike, people forget, like, Mike Miller was rookie of the year. OK, like Mike Miller could do a lot of different things. That is an interesting comp for Max Strus. He's not as tall as Mike, but Mike played physically as a rebounder when he was young. And he had some wiggle to his game, too, when he was young. I mean, everybody remembers when he was in Florida, you know, the runner he made in the lane to finish it. Like, those are Max Strus type things. Like, that to me is the comp now for Max Strus. To take a look at, and he's just an interesting prospect. I mean, I'll say this, like, we talk about Jimmy, and we talked to Max about it when he was on the pod, but Jimmy liked Max last year. Okay. And we talked about it on the podcast. Like, he thought something was there last year. Okay. Even when Max was a part-time two-way, I was hearing a lot of stuff from people around Jimmy, like, he likes Strus. Like, I mean, you know, he thinks Strus can play. And I was hearing some things about a couple guys who are not here anymore, that Jimmy was not as fond of their games, but he liked Max Strus's game. Okay. And he clearly likes him personally. He also seems to like Gabe Vincent, because he put out a wanted poster yesterday on his Instagram. So Jimmy's having some fun on the bench. All right. We're not going to have time, because we get so much. Greg's got to get to work and I got things to do too, to get much to Omer. But I'll just say, so I'll give you 30 seconds. And I think we're going to devote maybe Floor's Yours to Omer and some others tonight on the YouTube channel. But I'll just go to you on Omer and up, down, and whatever. But what he's accomplished as the single big, really, for the past 8 games. I mean, you're talking about 13 or 14 rebounds a night. I mean, you can't. There are some rough stretches. I mean, there was that Will Whiteside stretch where he kept missing and rebounding and missing and rebounding, and that pads the numbers a little bit. Not intentionally, but it happened. But overall, I mean, I guess you got to be impressed with how he's come along. He outplayed Nurkic down the stretch last night.
He did. And I think that it's really, really encouraging, because it almost felt like they were pressured into signing Omer when he was playing really well in summer league, and they didn't want someone else to scoop him up. And at the time, I didn't know that they really wanted to devote a guaranteed contract and guaranteed money to Omer. So to see him perform, I mean, just in the month of December, he was up to 19 minutes a game and got 7 and 8. So he's essentially, like, if you give him the minutes, he'll get you a double double. And he's Hassan like in that way, in that the numbers just pile up. And I do think that they're having to play differently with him. So we have to remember that. And this is the only other thing, is that I would, as a fan, you know, when you're watching him play these extended minutes and he's playing really well, I mean, just in the 3 games in January, he's getting 33 minutes a night. You're thinking, well, how the heck are they going to shelve him back to the very back of the bench once you get Bam back and Dedmon back and Markieff Morris back? And I would just say this, it's a COVID season. They need as many options as possible. So don't overthink it. Keep all the guys. You need a little bit of that depth. And maybe that'll play into the Duncan conversation too. But I think especially in the front court, they need to be careful not to get too thin.
Yeah, no. And the other thing is, look, this is incredibly valuable experience for him. You know, and he's on that contract, so they have a little bit of time to figure this thing out. And you know, he having to play down the stretch as a single big and having to be trusted by these other guys when there is no one else to go to. I mean, look, again, we all sort of like Chris Silva's story and like him personally, but you're just kind of hoping to survive the minutes. I thought he actually played better minutes last night. You're just kind of hoping to survive the minutes. But here's one thing that I'll leave with him. This is a topic maybe we get into on Floor's Yours. And again, we appreciate our sponsors, prizepicks.com. Use the code 5, therapistpreferred.com. Use the code 5RSN, manscaped.com, 5RSN. And of course, our friends over at Water Cleanup and City Cigar Lounge. But one thought here. I'm more comfortable with Omer playing these minutes than I was with Precious playing those minutes last year. And Precious is a guy that they drafted in the first round. So I don't know what Omer becomes, but I'm already more encouraged than I was with what we saw. I don't know that Precious could have put this string of games together that Omer has put together. So anyway, we've uncovered some stuff tonight. I'm going to throw that Struce Miller thing out there. We're going to talk more about Omer Floor's Yours tonight on the YouTube channel. And then of course, everybody's going to be talking about, okay, is Duncan the long-term starter here or not? And should you pay your own guys? Have a good day, everybody.